actually do mind. I mind very damn much. I mind about Donald Trump's lawlessness, the fact that he is a convicted felon criminal who's doing more criminal things every day from his perch in the White House. I mind very much that he's turned over the kings to our American kingdom to a billionaire overlord and his, like, barely out of adolescent minions.
Out of adolescence, depending on how you quantify it.
Yes.
What do they say? Folks, that's Jess P.S. She's on the board with me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Those smooth, dulcet male tones that you hear. That is Tom Paulswitz, my special guest co-host every Thursday. What do they say that the male mind doesn't reach full maturity until when? It's like late 20s.
It's late 20s.
For women, it's like 28 to 29, according to some reckonings. I'm still an adolescent.
I have raised three children, and they're all in their at least late 20s now, and I can say that it takes time.
I would want
no 19 to 22 year old anywhere near the keys to the kingdom.
Prefrontal cortex just is not developed enough. That's where we make those rational decisions. It's not cooked.
Yeah. It's not fully baked.
It's not done yet.
It's raw. Right.
None of these are fully baked ideas with fully baked folks to execute them. Again, we are talking about the state of play these days. And topic number two for Tom and I and Jess P.S. on the board and each and every one of you this afternoon is this. Donald Trump promised us world peace. He said the conflict in Ukraine would be over the very day that he was sworn into office. He has promised us cheaper eggs, cheaper gas, cheaper housing, free childcare, and a border wall, and maybe somebody else is going to pay for it. It goes on and on and on. He has promised everyone everything, unless you're black and brown, an immigrant, a woman in the LGBTQIA plus community, or really, really poor and struggling. Then you can go kick rocks. But Tom, I say all of this, and folks, please do not mistake my blitheness for any lack of concern or indignation. Tom, what is really concerning to me, because I have been trained as an economist, I consider myself an economist, though I only have a master's degree in applied mathematical econometrics and not a full PhD. But what concerns me is that one of the things that the U.S. government has done extraordinarily well, with some exceptions, but very well, in fact, has led the world for many decades, has been the nonpartisan collection and sharing of data with the public, whether that's about housing, lending, employment, you name it, the data was getting collected. We also did incredible research and data analysis and shared that data and the output of those analyses with people. What we're seeing from government agency to government agency is data being scrubbed. They're putting up static PDFs. You cannot search the data. You cannot download it if the data is even still available. They're pulling down the research papers. It is like the entirety of the U.S. data collection, which, again, is done by, and I'm going to use this word with a lot of love and respect, technocrats and data wonks and nonpartisan civil servants, public servants, who would provide this information to researchers and the public at large so that we could actually look at and assess what impact various policies are having, who actually benefited from Trump's 2017 tax cuts. Hint, it wasn't the middle class.
Correct.
I am so petrified, Tom, that because we're seeing it already, we're only 3 weeks in, that one of their main points will be to basically stop data collection, or it will become Big Brother data collection, you know, like tracking women's periods.
Yes.
What are we supposed to do? How do we demand that this not occur? How do people gain some sight lines on the fact that they're actually like removing information? It's hard, right? It's like trying to prove a negative. If I didn't look for it before, How do I know that it's gone? I've had researchers and friends of mine that work in academia call me and they're like, yeah, this data source that I use, like, it's gone.
Gone. Can't use it. Right. And I think the real challenge is going to be moving forward. There's going to be a hole in the data. That's even if we're allowed to get back to gathering the data. So there's going to be a hole. But more importantly, tremendous amounts of research and development using this data is now not possible. And now there has to be another way to try to look for proxies or other ways to think about how to get this information. But I said this before earlier on the show. This is our data. We own it. They can't hide it from us. So that to me is incredibly frustrating. And I think there has to be some legal avenues to be able to go and at least have this data published. My concern, though, is that the additional collection is probably going to stop.
Correct.
And then just what you had talked about, I think even scarier is the data that the government starts to publish, I'm personally going to question. I'm looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics going, I can't trust job reports now. I can't trust a whole bunch of things that I would make decisions on or at least have an idea of what's happening. And this is the fundamental move that autocrats make to make sure people don't really know what's going on. And so to pretend like this isn't a big issue, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because I think this is one of the things that just isn't being talked about within the whole context of all this other stuff. But this could be fundamentally the biggest, I think, problem that we'll have moving forward trying to maintain democracy.
When I think, I have been thinking about this problem since November 6th because I know the data that I used as an economist to complete my master's degree. I used information from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I know all economists that are good faith economists have used U.S. data coming from the federal government to help conduct their analyses. It fits and it dovetails with their attack on all of higher education, right? It's like, oh, well, we'll just take the data away and then they can't do anything. They can't fulfill their research obligations, not to mention the defunding of research, period, right? So we won't collect observable data. We won't conduct the research. We'll manipulate the data that is there. We'll start collecting data that is, in fact, misleading. Because I can tell you this much. One of the reasons that I decided to pursue an advanced degree in economics was because there was this intuitive part of my brain that was screaming at me that someone can snow you. They can pull a fast one on you. They can run a grift on you if you can't at least have some sensibility and get under the numbers and know, did they just create an algorithm, or did they just create an econometric formula that will, of course, produce the outcome that they want? Because you can do that. If you talk to statisticians and mathematicians, they will tell you you can manipulate data to make it show what you want.
Yes.
But even if you don't, if you're not a bad faith data scientist, if you don't have the data, you can't even do the analysis at all.
Right. Or the data is manipulated to help you, to make you think about what could be happening. Like, I'm looking at a jobs report. What if they decide to stop monitoring or at least measuring jobs that women have?
Right. Well, because we can't use the word woman anymore. Right. Like, can we the watchword and guide when you look at disparity analyses at any level, right, is you aggregate and anonymize, but you still splice it by various demographic characteristics. Yes. And I don't just mean race and gender. I mean income quartile. So, for example, in 2017, when Republicans passed the first Trump Tax Cut Act for billionaires, there were about 80 different versions of this bill. And they came in quick succession because they were everybody's horse trading for their favorite thing, and there were pork in the bill. But the version that passed, they basically pushed it through really quickly, and they did not wait for the Congressional Budget Office to produce what is called, I'm going to forget the exact name of it, but it's something like the dispersion analysis or the dispersion impact analysis, which is the fancy words that data geeks would use for, hey, we're going to run the numbers out and we're going to see, on a absolute dollar and percentage basis, who's going to benefit the most from these tax cuts? And the reason they didn't wait for that from the CBO was because it would have shown them exactly what's happened, which is basically the bottom 90% of us have actually seen a net tax increase from the Trump tax cuts, while the top 1% and top 5% have seen huge reductions to the tune of billions of dollars. They didn't want that analysis. Because
and the analysis, and the analysis to be able to tell you how much it's going to add to the deficit and the debt. They didn't wait for that either, right?
No.
We don't want to know because we know it's going to be negative.
Well, not only did they not want to know, they don't want you to know. They don't want me to know because then we can hold them accountable. This is one of those things that, again, is kind of under the surface for people. And it is one of the things that I have the greatest amount of existential fear because dismantling these systems will also not have just terrible and bad impacts and cost lives in the near term. It will set back global policy, global economic policy, global healthcare policy, all of these things. And believe you me, if Elon Musk is now scraping data out of all of these U.S. systems, he's not a benign overlord. He is a profit incentive. He has conflicts to the tune of 15 plus billion a year and contracts.
Currently.
And then they're going to take away the metrics by which we would judge whether or not they're fulfilling the promises while he scrapes the data, maximizes his profit, and pushes his tax rates lower and lower. Does anybody think this is going to be good for the middle class? 855-757-8557-524-8842. We got a caller and a whole load of text messages. We're going to get to those next. How will we know the impacts of what they're doing?
Yes.
More on this with me, Maggie Dawn, my special guest co-host Tom Paulswitz, and Jess P.S. on the board right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation.